Everyone is accountable to God, even though our kids are taught in school that there is no God, there is no accountability, just live any way you want. We, everyone, however, will give an account to God for everything we have done, both good and bad. Just saying there's no God doesn't get rid of him. It takes a lot more than that to get rid of God. You cannot get rid of God. God still holds us accountable for our behavior. People say this is not true. Well, what if it is true? Once you show up on Judgment Day, and you will, then it's going to be too late. We need to hear this message today and make sure that we are lining up with the Word of God. God does not want anyone to perish because he is a God of compassion. God doesn't go around just hitting good people over their head and sending people to hell because he doesn't have anything else to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that your life might change, you might live a godly, successful life and be blessed and have the plan of God fulfilled in your life, and when life is over, go to heaven. That's the compassionate God that we serve. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, look at this. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? How many of you have ever done some straying? Well, I guarantee you, as I've heard some say, the hound of heaven is on your trail. God Almighty is drawing everyone he can into the kingdom. Verse 13, if it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us, and he doesn't want a single one of us to be lost. Get that in your head and never believe anything other than that. So it is not the will of our Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That's what he says. It is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It is not God's will that anyone should perish. So some people just automatically assume, well, if that's the case, then everybody's going to heaven. Hang on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you want to have everlasting life, there's something you must do. You must put your faith totally in God's Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God is a God of love, but he is also a God of justice. When someone mistreats you and you're told, do not seek vengeance, let it go. Well, God says, if you will not seek vengeance, then vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. So when someone mistreats you and they don't repent of it and make it right, God will hold them accountable. That's called justice. If I mistreat you and I don't repent of it, make it right, then God will hold me accountable. That's called justice. So if God doesn't dish out justice, he's not a fair God. He commands me to let things go, saying he'll take care of it, so he'll take care of it one way or the other. Amen. Sometimes we need just to think these things through. See, he holds all of us accountable for what we do if we do not repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ. And just about all sin is somehow through people against God. Sin hurts. Our sins hurts people all around us. People say, it's none of nobody's business what I do. Well, it certainly is, because about everything you do affects me. About everything I do affects you. And God holds us accountable. And we can say that's not true until all the cows come home. I'm no country boy. It doesn't change anything. Just because we say it, it's, well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter who you believe it or not. If they offend the word of God, it's going to happen. We got to get that in our heads. On Judgment Day, we're going to find that's true. 2 Peter 3:9, I just don't want blood on my hands. I want you to know what the word says. If you don't like it and you want to lump it, it's not going to bother me. I'm just going to preach it and go to dinner, lunch. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. As well, it's been 2,000 years and he still hadn't come back. Well, there's a reason he hadn't come back. And this is it right here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the reason he's been tarrying all these decades and centuries is because he's trying to get everybody saved he possibly can. The time is running out. God is merciful, but time eventually runs out. Justice will come. Isaiah 59, verse 1, I read this the other day, but I want to read more than just the first couple of verses. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. And I'm reading that from different translations because this word lived a little differently, and sometimes one translation speaks a little more clearly to some than others. So anyway, I've read that before, but I'll read a few other verses here. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood, murder. I mean, look at the murder rate in America. It's almost unbelievable. And a lot of murders go unsolved, and people are not receiving justice. But they will. Judgment day is coming. And your fingers and your hands, for your hands are defiled with blood, murder, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. Verse 4, no one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. You know, today evil people create confusion on purpose. They don't want people knowing the truth. They want you to be confused. And especially if a mechanic's cheating you, he wants you to be confused about what the problem is. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Sit around and think of bad things to do to people. Can you see that happening right now in America, all around us? Verse 6, their works are works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hands. You think God's going to let what's going on in America right now go unpunished? We have a choice. We can repent, make things right, receive God's blessings, or we can face judgment. And it's always not in the next life. There's a penalty to be paid very often in this life. If you hop in bed with a certain person and not someone you're married to, and you come home with HIV, that's judgment built in. Amen. So a lot of bad things happen to us when we break God's law. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy it says that God has given us his law for our good always. God's law is not meant to keep us from having a good time. It's meant to keep us out of trouble. I've never been shot in a bar because I've never been in one. They are defacing statues, and most of my relatives on my father's side have been in all kind of bars. Okay, while I'm laying around drunk. But the difference between me and them is I got truly born again and saved, and God changed me. You may be thinking he needs to change you some more. Well, I agree with that. Okay, he needs to change me some more. Keep praying. Verse 6, their works are works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hands. The violence in America today, to me, is just totally unbelievable. I grew up in the 50s and early 60s. We went to bed and never locked our doors, left the keys in the car. No one bothered anything or anybody. Today, you go back to the same neighborhood, and they got double deadlocks on every door, you know, and a shotgun behind every door because the environment has changed. Violence is all over the place. Verse 7, their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood, which is important. There's no more innocent blood than an unborn baby being murdered. Can you say amen? And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you were there in your mother's womb. If she had aborted you, she would have murdered you. She walked in here today with a shotgun and shot you. What's the difference? Either way, you did. It's murder. Innocent blood. Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their ways. They do not know the way of peace. You see, it says, my hand is not shortened that I cannot save, nor your heavy that I cannot hear, but your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's the reason the United States of America is having the problems we're having right now that we didn't have in the 50s and early 60s is because we have turned our back on God and become a very wicked, ungodly place. And God is saying, I can't protect you now like I used to. People say, well, that's the judgment of God. Not really. It's just God lifting his hand of protection because he cannot protect violent, evil, demonized people. But judgment will come. But not yet. The judgment of God is not what you see now. He's going to be a lot worse, okay? Because he will eventually have vengeance on all these wicked people that refuse to repent. And once again, saying, I don't believe it doesn't change anything. You need to hear what I'm saying, whether you believe it or not, because if I'm right, you need to be sure you're right with God. Wickedness causes devastation and destruction. Judgment is on the way. If we plan to make it to heaven, wickedness must be removed from our lives. There's only one way to blot out your sins, and that's with the blood of Jesus Christ. I cannot say anything about any sinner, no matter what they're doing. I can't look down on them and call them names because I'd be worse than them if I hadn't been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. I'll probably be sitting in prison right now. Folsom Prison, wherever that is, something like that. Rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ brings the judgment of God. A professor from the University of Tennessee came to church here for a while. He was planning on starting a church somewhere, doing something, even though he was a professor at UT. And while he was here, he said to me, met him back in one of the hospitality meetings. He said, many university professors teach there is no God, no absolutes, no right or wrong, because they want to live ungodly lives. So they want to feel better about themselves, so they just pretend there's not a God and that you can just live any way you want to. If you want to listen to somebody like that that's pretending, you go right ahead, but I plan on listening to the Word of God. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation. Listen to this. That light, and this is the condemnation. This is what gets people in trouble. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. They like darkness because their deeds were evil. Many people choose the lifestyle I just read about. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, there are people who will not respond to the truth because they like what they're doing. Romans chapter 1, verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them. Listen to this. For God made it evident to them. In other words, everyone has an evidence in them placed there by God that God is real. Way down in there, every human being, there's a witness there. They know God is real. Even these professors and even some preachers run around preaching all these horrible things. There is no God. There's no right or wrong situation, ethics. Just let the situation determine what's right and wrong. You better let the Bible decide what's right and wrong. Because that which is known about God is evident within in them, for God made it evident to them. Everyone has an evidence in them that God is real. Secular humanists have rejected the light because they love darkness, but inside they know better. Every man has a measure of faith. It says everyone has a measure of faith. What's that? It's a substance, evidence that God is real. And that's how you... That was the starting point for you getting saved. Down inside of you, No matter what we were saying around, you just had a way. Yeah, there's more here to life than what I have. There's something missing. And we all have that in us. And we can't ignore that. Every man has a measure of faith or an inner evidence. And I just read it to you that the Bible says that. You see, we had an atheist whose wife came to church here. And he hated me. he hated me. He literally stood in the back of the church while I was preaching and tried to stare me down. But it takes more than an atheist to stare me down. Yay. So I kept right on preaching. Listen, if you start messing around with God's people, you wind up getting saved. Yay. You wind up becoming one of them. Look at Saul of Tarsus. I mean, he was torturing God's people, and he wound up becoming the greatest preacher of his day. Later, he was in a bar, depressed because his business was falling apart. And sitting in the bar, he said, "God, why won't you do something?" Why would an atheist be talking to God? I don't believe in God. There's no one who doesn't believe in God. They're trying to convince themselves that there's not a God, and they hope there's not a God. And they pray to God there's not a God. And he said, "God, why don't you do something?" And God said in an audible voice out loud in a bar. How many know that God goes to bars? You go to a bar trying to get away from God, he's there. God said to him out loud in audible voice, he says, "What do you want me to do?" And he whirled around, and there was no one near him. "God, what do you want me to do?" "What do you want me to do?" says God. So he decided he might need to talk to that preacher that he hated. He came to my office and said, "Preacher, I think I'm losing my mind." And he told me what happened. See, all the time there was something in him. I said, "No, you're not losing your mind. God has spoken to you. I'm going to tell you, God will chase you down, but you got sooner or later, you got to respond in faith. Every man is without excuse because there is a witness inside. Why would an atheist talk to God? Because he's not an atheist. He pretends to be. There is an inner witness leading us to redemption. This man repented, accepted Jesus Christ, and became my best friend. Do not be deceived. It is not God's will that anyone perish. He is on your track. Tracking you down right now. If you don't know him, he wants you in his kingdom. And don't run from him. Turn and receive him. You see, God sought this man out in a bar and talked to him out loud. Where will he find you? Let him find you. When people continue to rebel against God and his word, he will hold them accountable. You can't just ignore him forever. And so God is a very fair God. People say, "Well, God wouldn't send anybody to hell." I don't think he's ever sent anybody to hell. We send ourselves. He died and shed his blood that we might have eternal life. And then we walk right through his blood and then say God sends people to hell. No, we send ourselves if we. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Verse 7. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. It's worthless. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" When a person continues to refuse to serve God, God will give up eventually. Eventually, judgment will come and cut it down. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. So when you, a mere man, listen to this, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? The secular humanists and Marxists condemn evil people who owned slaves about 170 years ago. And I condemn them too, and about everybody today does. But back then, everybody over the whole world owned slaves. It wasn't unique to the United States. And when this place when the United States had slaves, it wasn't the United States, it was British colonies. And as soon as the United States government was established, about 8, 9, 10 years later, they passed laws forbidding any more slaves coming in. And then they fought a civil war to rectify that sin. But after the curse of slavery was removed from this country, then it became the greatest nation in the world. When it's a slave nation, it wasn't blessed. But when you make things right with God. But now we have another sin that's, in God's eyes, as bad or almost as bad. The secular humanists and Marxists condemn evil people who owned slaves about 170 years ago, but promote the murder of unborn innocent babies. Both are wicked in the eyes of God. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing or something as bad or worse, do you think you will escape God's judgment? A lot of people today condemning Christians for everything they do wrong, and yet they're doing even worse. Both are wicked. Sin is sin in God's eyes. I'm not for either one. Can you say? Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Do you show contempt for the... Listen, this is so good. Do you show contempt, Romans 2, 4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? God is being very kind and patient right now with the United States of America, with all of us, and like that atheist leading us and guiding us into the things of God. He's been patient, but that patience is going to run out. God was kind and patient toward my atheist friend and brought him to salvation. Listen to verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourselves for the day of God's wrath. You're storing up wrath for yourself because you're stubborn and rebellious and you will not repent and you continue to do evil, wicked things you know is hurting yourself and other people. Now, if you have an addiction, that's kind of a different matter. I mean, God will help you and get you delivered from that. But some addictions are very, very hard to break. Drugs and alcohol, illicit sex and all these things. When you're born again, sometimes your flesh is still addicted to those things and you need to believe God to sanctify you and cleanse you and break those things off of you. Can you say amen? And so a lot of people, they have a real hard time conquering something. They just give up. Don't give up. Let the Lord Jesus Christ change you and transform you from the inside out and he will help you conquer those addictions and those strongholds. And today that needs to be said. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, when you deliberately, intentionally, on purpose, continue to rebel against God and do wicked things, God says you're storing up wrath against your own self. Let me read it again. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, I'd be surprised to hear some of these things in the Bible. It's been there all the time. Preachers just do not preach it anymore. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God's righteous judgment is going to be revealed. And what side will you be on? What side will I be on? Verse 6, God will give to each person according to what he has done. Judgment day, we're going to get according to what we've done. But you need to understand everything under the blood is invisible to God. He doesn't even remember it. It's forgotten, and you need to forget it. If you repented of it, it's under the blood. God forgot it. You need to forget it. One thing God can do that we can't do is God can forget. We can't. We remember everything we've ever done wrong, and the devil keeps reminding us of it. And we need to remind him that God has forgotten it. Verse 7, to those who by persistence, in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Those who serve him, obey him, put their faith in him, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, this is Romans again, chapter 2, verse 7, 8, where I'm at right now, verse 8. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, see, that's what really gets people in trouble. You hear the truth and know the truth and you reject it. That's fatal. I'm preaching the truth today. I'm reading it right out of the Bible. You can't say, well, he twisted it. I read it straight out of the Bible. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. God will give to each person according to what he has done. God is fair, just, and patient, but judgment day will eventually come. 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We will all be held accountable by the King for what we've done. Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that every idle, careless word man may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. God is going to hold us accountable for everything. He said, well, what in the world am I going to do? Just ask God to forgive you. Amen. Oh, it couldn't be that easy. It wasn't that easy for him. He had died and shed his blood, but it's easy for us just to repent, ask him to forgive us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything I'm preaching is not a problem if you just repent and make things right with God. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. When you hear good preaching, you need to say amen. Let's practice one more time. Okay. We're responsible for what we say and do. And I'm aware of this for myself every day. I'm going to give an account for everything I preach, too, by the way. At least you don't have to give an account for what I preach. But I do. And I think about that every day, too. And so I got to get up here and read the Bible, make sure I put out the truth. If I don't, I'm going to be in trouble. Acts chapter 10, verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he were commanded, preachers, and we all really are commanded to preach this truth. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he, Jesus Christ, is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. That's what I'm supposed to preach, that God has appointed his son, Jesus Christ, to be the judge of the living and the dead. Today he's Savior. Tomorrow he will be judge. We all need to know that, and I need to keep that in my mind too. Even though preachers don't get a free pass to do anything they want to do. We're not perfect, at least I know I'm not. But I've learned to use 1 John 1:9. You know, confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin. And what I really like about that verse, it says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Christ cleanses you and justifies you. You stand before God as if you never ever sinned. Wow. That's quite a salvation plan. See, we all need to make up our to make sure our sins are under the blood. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, he will sit on the throne in his glory, the throne of his glory. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. I fold my sermon notes like that, and when I get to a crease, the light where it's shining, I can't hardly read it. So that's what just happened. I got to a crease. And he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. I didn't say I like this. I just have to read it. Okay. Then the king, I'm still in that crease. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. It's amazing how you got everything perfect and then something just messes everything up. This morning, I was running on time. I was proud of myself, pat myself on the back. I started printing my sermons off, and my son-in-law for Father's Day came over last night and installed new routers throughout the house. My printer was working for the first time the way it's supposed to. Normally, I have to take my computer around the house until my laptop around the house until I find a spot where it works to print. And I'm so excited. I just hit the print button and printed off the sermons and went and got them, and the ink had run out. I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Flying around the house, and by then, time was running out. So believe me, time does run out. And so I had to switch out those cartridges. And, you know, they get kind of stubborn. They want to go in, you know. And finally, I got them in and printed the sermons off. And I'm thinking, how in the world does things get time just that way, you know? I think sometimes the devil's buying some of it. But I'm the one that creased these papers. So, verse 41, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me. I don't want to hear that. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Believe me, normally my goal is to preach on faith. You know, trusting God, living in victory, claiming his blessings and claiming his promises. But this is part of the gospel. You can't just skip over it. I'd love to, yay, and just get to all the fun stuff, but this is important. You're not going to be blessed very long if you just intentionally reject God's truth. Verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Everyone without exception will stand in judgment before the judge, Jesus Christ himself, and will give an account for everything they've done. Remember, he paid the price for sins, and all we have to do is repent. Well, he's a tough dude. I mean, he's going to haul everybody in before his throne and pass judgment. Oh, yeah, but he's already paid for your sins. He's done the hard work. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, you can't skip that. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand.